You're listening to the All Day Ruckoff podcast, episode number 106. Welcome to the All Day Ruckoff podcast, episode number 106. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruckoff podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, I'm joined by Cadre Shredder, where we talk about how he got involved in GoRuck, the events that he participated in before becoming a cadre, how he became a cadre, and then we get into the 22 Headstrong event that he's running later this year, 2019, September, in Austin, Texas. I'm really excited to have him on. I've done a number of events with Shredder in the past, and we've gone back and forth quite a bit on what we're going to do for a podcast episode for what feels like months. And so I'm just so thankful that we're able to find the time that he's on here, and I really hope you enjoy this one. Before we get into the interview, I want to give a huge thank you to my buddy Brian for supporting on Patreon. I really appreciate it. I want you to know that. Thank you so much to everyone else who's supporting through Patreon and for everyone who downloads and listens to this. The current goal on Patreon is to raise some funds, get some awesome in-person microphones, do some more in-person podcast interviews where the audio doesn't sound like garbage. With all that out of the way, thank you again so much for all the support. And here is the interview with Cadre Shredder. Today, I'm talking with Cadre Shredder. I'm really excited to have him on the podcast. We're going to talk about him as a cadre, his first event, why he decided to become a GoRuck cadre, why he's done so many events. And then we're going to get into an event that he's helping put on down in Austin, Texas. It's September 13th, 2019, and it's called 22 Get Headstrong. So I'm really excited to hear more about that. Cadre Shredder, how you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Brian. I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm not too bad. It's a Thursday. It's Southern California. It's a little rainy out today, which is always nice, as opposed to some of the normal, typical, beautiful weather, right? And so I'm not having a bad day at all. My body's a little beat up, so I'm a little achy from the rain, but that's I think that's to be expected with most of the guys like me and my age and whatnot.
It's a little rainy up here too, but that's to be expected in Seattle.
Yeah, right.
So you've been a cadre for GoRuck for a while, and before you became one, you did a number of events. About what time did you start signing up for events with GoRuck, and kind of what led you to GoRuck and the events?
Yeah. Well, I think my first event, I have to look back on the exact event. It was a GoRuck Light event. I believe it was 2012. It was out in Los Angeles, and I had not heard of GoRuck. Like so many of those initial stories that people tell you about, I had not heard about GoRuck, and a good friend of mine, of course, a really good friend of mine, invited me along, didn't tell me much about it. It was a person that I was doing some workouts with, and I was kind of doing some small business stuff with. And one day he hit me up and said, "Hey, Mike, you know, there's this thing going on. It's kind of like a race, kind of like an endurance event. I'm not really sure. I found out about it. You got to carry a backpack." And he said that he thought that would be right up my alley because it looked very physical. And I thought, huh, what do you mean? Carry a backpack. Okay. And he said, it's predicated on special operations, training. And that of course piqued my interest immediately. I'd been out of the service for a while at that point, quite some time at that point, actually. And I had been kind of missing. I didn't really know how much I had been missing actually. The military style of life, the camaraderie, the teamwork, all of those things that we hear about now, we talk about in our events. I didn't really quite know how much I had been missing that, but when the opportunity came, I thought, okay, I'll find out. He gave me a link to go look at. I went to the website. I thought, this looks incredible. And so I showed up having no idea. I don't think I even signed up for it. I think I just was given I used somebody else's sign up, if I remember right. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud, but it doesn't matter. I showed up in Los Angeles. There were a large number of us. I think the total was somewhere in the ballpark of about 100 people. We showed up at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art and towed the line, started listening to what they said, started doing what they told me to do, and I just found myself just absolutely in awe of what I saw taking place around me, because it was very obvious, and I knew the people that had invited me. There was a group of about 12 of them, and I knew none of them were military people. Some of them were CrossFit athletes. Some of them were, you know, triathletes. Some of them were just, you know, every walk of life that you can imagine. And it was very, very fascinating to me. Our cadre, let's see, who do we have? We had Patrick Moultrip. We had a cadre who I'd never seen after that and didn't know. I think his name was Mike. We had another cadre named Tim. And then there was another cadre named Mike. I think we had two Mikes, a Tim, and Molt and Patrick. Patrick's the only one that I ever saw much again afterwards. And it was interesting. They split us up and they worked our butts off. And I came back absolutely in love with the physical. I was much more in love with the people that were around me and watching them rise to the occasion, if you will, because it was pretty tough. If you know about some of those early Go Ruck days, there was some rhyme and reason to everything, but the primary rhyme, or the primary reason, I should say, was physical beat, physical heart, you know, work it hard, and see what you got, you know, toe that line and see what happens. So, that was my first event, and I then just stacked a bunch on after that, as many as I could find, San Diego, San Jose, San Francisco, Reno, Vegas, Phoenix. I just started traveling and trying to get to as many events as I could in my time. So it was an eye opener and it was a life changer.
Sure sounds like it. And you mentioned something at the very beginning of that your friend who invited you said it sounded like it was right up your alley because it was physical and it was hard. So before you did this event, were you involved in, I guess, other training, other programs, other things like that, that were both physical and hard that would make your friends say, yeah, this sounds like something that Shredder should be doing?
Yeah. You know, at the time, they didn't call me Shredder. I had a workout crew that I called Power Shred. And so I had a pretty large crew of about 25. We were meeting, you know, three and four times a week. And we were doing, I don't recall if at that point we had done any Spartan runs or Tough Mudders. I'm not even sure I had heard much about those, but we were doing things like terrain runs and mud runs, and there were a number of those here in our local area, so we were kind of training for those. Quite honestly, I was coming off a period of time. I had been doing this for a couple of years, but I was coming off a period of time where I was recovering from some pretty dramatic injuries, back injuries and shoulder injuries and those kind of things, so I had been stagnant for a while, and I was just really starting to get back into the training. The most extreme training I was doing at the time, I think, was probably P90X, you know, Beachbody's P90X. And I was tackling all those programs, trying to get my physical strength back up. And I was just beginning to, you know, flirt with the running more and the terrain running and getting back out and to the woods and camping and those kind of things and getting back into the kind of lifestyle I had. So we were definitely training. I wasn't training for Go Ruck, and it was an eye opener. It was a real eye opener. But it really jump started my desire, that's for sure.
That's funny you mentioned P90X. When I was training for my first event, and I think my second event too, back in 2011 and then 2012, I was using Beachbody's Insanity program to train for those.
I'm a Beachbody homer that way. Beachbody and some of those programs really did begin to change my life. They really did activate my desire to get back into the physical that I wanted to get back into, and they challenged me. So I really enjoyed those, and I did a number of those programs, you know, all the Insanities, the T25s, the different versions of P90X, the you name it. If Beachbody had a good program, I was out there trying to tackle it.
Yeah, I followed those because I was, I don't know, maybe a 15-20 minute drive from a gym, and then, you know, 15-20 both ways, that's 30 to 40 minutes wasted.
Yeah.
And I was just wanted to find something I could do at home. And I mean, they're solid.
Even today, I'll still open up a couple of those. I have Beachbody on demand, and I'll open up those when I'm in my garage or, you know, out and about, and I'll knock out a few of those, you know, during a week or so. I like those. I do them often enough still.
That's great. So you completed your first event. You signed up for and showed up to a lot of additional events in the area. So at some point you must have thought, I should become a Gorakh cadre because you're a Gorakh cadre now. So I imagine that thought must have come through at some point. So when about did you start thinking about doing that, and what was your decision process like?
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I don't know how interesting this is to other people, but I'm certainly able to talk about it. It was, you know, one of the things I noticed right away, was the cadre. And it's hard for me to say that I was absolutely impressed with the cadre. I'd been around a lot of special operations troops in my life. So I've always been impressed with the people around me, and I've always been impressed with cadre in general. But I don't know that my first thought was, wow, look at these guys. They're incredible. One of the first thoughts I did have, however, it was kind of obvious to me that they were getting something special out of the event as well. I could just see it in their eyes. I could see it in their mannerisms. I could see it in their approach, that they, those cadre, were realizing something beneficial. And I kind of, after, it didn't dawn on me at first. It took a few events. And I was not looking to be a cadre at all. Matter of fact, I don't know that anybody other than my buddy who invited me knew that I had been in the, they knew I'd been in the service a bit. But I didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. So I don't know that anybody even knew I was special forces per se. My workout crew did, you know, we emphasized some of the training around that. But it was kind of one of those things where we weren't going out and bragging about it, and my buddies weren't saying, hey, you know, our trainer's an ex-Green Beret, that kind of stuff. It wasn't like that at all. It was very, very much more humble than that. I wasn't interested in, you know, articulating, you know, my past career or any of those kind of things to anybody. And I wasn't looking to be, you know, stand out at the GORAK events. The last thing I wanted to do was have, you know, the attention on me, if you will. I just wanted to go, kind of blend in, pick up a lot of weight, work my butt off, be a good teammate, and move on to the next events. So initially, there was no thought of being a cadre. In fact, I was doing other work, and I couldn't imagine how I'd have the time to actually do that. And I didn't really think it was for me. I thought it was for other veterans, and I could see the value for them. So initially, there was really just the thought of being a good teammate, going to get my butt kicked. And seeing how that worked out for me. And it was a blast. I had a great time. Eventually somehow somebody got wind of it. I assume it was one of my buddies, although none of them have ever admitted it to me that they were the one that said anything at our events. But one day we were at an event. I believe the cadre was, his name was Tim, I think. He was an ex-First Special Forces Group guy. And we were at an event. And we were walking, I think we were in Anaheim or something. We were cruising around. He goes, man, he goes, you seem different. And just out of nowhere. He goes, you seem different. And I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what you mean. Sorry, cadre, I'll get back in line. You know, I was thinking he was going to pull me out and start smoking me or something. And he said, I talked to one of your buddies. And I said, what's that mean? Kind of. And he said, they tell me you were in group. And then I blew it off. I said, no, man, those people are crazy. And I went back and got into formation. And just kept doing our stuff. I really wasn't interested in having that kind of conversation. And then over a couple times, one day, it happened a number of times. One day I was doing an event in San Diego. It must have been a Halloween event. Big Daddy was actually participating in the event. You all remember Big Daddy. He was dressed up as a pink pig or something. It was hilarious. And he walked up behind me and he put his hand on my shoulder, and that guy had a big old meat hand. I don't know if anybody's ever shaken hands with BD on this that are listening. I'm sure they have. Big old paw, right? And he put it right on my shoulder and he said, man, I heard you're out of Special Forces. And he goes, I've been watching you at the different events, because at that point I had done a number of events with him, or he had participated in a couple that I was doing. And he said, have you ever considered being a cadre? And he was the first one to ask me. I just told him no, I hadn't really considered it. I didn't think it was for me necessarily. I was kind of busy doing other things, and it looked like it was really valuable. Him and I ended up having a conversation about that, and I expressed to him that I could see the value to the cadre that were doing this. Their transition for them, I could see this was, you know, important. And over time, you know, I did not accept it. I didn't become a cadre. And over time, there was just this. Every time a cadre would come in, and I was doing an event, there was a little bit of a conversation. And then one day, Bert Koontz, you guys probably remember Bert. He walked up to me. We had gone up to a place called Humboldt, and we were doing a special event for a gentleman named Kevin Ebert. And it was the first one of those two events. And he just asked me, he said, "Man, we're recruiting hard for a cadre right now." He goes, "And I'm just curious if you'd like to do it. BD told me to talk to you. Another person, I think it was Joel, told him to talk to me." And so that was it. I said, "Oh, you know, all right. Let me take a look at it. Let me think about it. I have to clear up some things in my personal life and to make time for this so I could do it. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it right," kind of thing. And that was it. We put some paperwork in, and I don't know. The next thing I know, I'm being a cadre. I was out in San Diego. I was in Los Angeles with Cadre Doug and Cadre Chad, and I ended up leading a light and shadowing those other events, and it just ended up being.
That's quite the story. And you mentioned throughout it that you had said a couple of times that you didn't think being a cadre was for you. But since you've become a cadre, you have run tons and tons and tons of events. So it sounds like it might have come around and maybe being a cadre is for you.
I think it turned out that it is for me. What I realized pretty early on was that, and I didn't quite understand this in those early days when I was first doing them. I didn't quite understand the planning process. I've always been somebody who enjoys planning. I like logistics. I like the organization around bringing things and people together and having an objective at the end and fulfilling our mission, if you will, getting through the objective and then starting over on a new one. I like that. I'm very task-oriented that way. And so once I became a cadre, or actually at the event with Chad and Doug, I was able to sit in on their planning process a bit. And although it was still a little bit haphazard, it wasn't as themed out the events like they are now. There's a lot more planning involved in them. There was still a significant number of things we had to consider, like distance and time. And I always knew as a participant those were issues, right? But the actual fulfillment of watching a plan come together, be executed, be able to have multiple potential contingency plans at my disposal and prepared for, and then watching the smiles and the effect on everybody at the end, it was very, very rewarding, way more rewarding than I had ever anticipated it would be. The autonomy that GoRuck gave us and still gives us is incredible, and it's difficult to match. I mean, we clearly have standard operating procedures, and we have rules we got to follow. We have responsibilities, of course. But the combination just grew on me. So I love it. I mean, for me, it's a fulfillment that's difficult for me to find anywhere else. And I love watching the people work. I love seeing how they rise to the occasion. And I purposely made the occasion difficult to rise to. So it's been very fulfilling for me. It's easy for me to sign up for events. I actually have some time on my hand. So it just is what it is. And I really do enjoy it quite a bit at this point.
And you always put on phenomenal events. I've done at least two events with you so far. And, you know, they're awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Those are kind words.
Well, it's true. I mean, you can see the thought and effort, and not that other cadre don't put thought and effort in, but especially with the special events, the historical events. I did 4th of July with you in Seattle a couple of years ago, and we started on the west side of the city, which is a location that I think that this might have been one of the first classes to ever start over there. So already a unique start point. And I learned things about the city that I grew up in and have lived in that I never knew. So it was, you know, it's always a good event when you can do one in your hometown, a historical event, and learn things about your hometown that you didn't know. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I remember that event very well. I remember we had a very heavy flag.
Yes.
I remember working under that big overpass and moving those big logs. And I remember singing, you know, national anthem. And I remember working through that part of West Seattle. That was a fantastic event for me. It was a lot of fun. It was also beautiful. Remember the scenery? Remember the the skyline from, was it Lido Park, I think is where we were at. The skyline was tremendous, just fantastic, if I recall right. And it may have been raining, but that's okay. It was still beautiful.
Yeah, you can get lost in that view.
Is that the one where we ended up coming back and patching on the ferry across from?
That's the one.
Yeah, man, gosh. You know, one of the things I try to do, and I still try to do, it's getting harder to do, and that is to find places where we haven't gone as a crew, as a team, as a GoRuck event. You know, when we start our planning process, one of the things that we have at our disposal is we have a cadre portal, a web portal, and at the end of our events, we're asked to go on and do a little after action. It's really kind of a standard form that we fill out about the start point, you know, drops, withdrawals, medical, et cetera, points of interest, highlights of the event. And so we are able to get in there and describe where we were, what we did, and then that's available to us down the road. We're not always really super detailed. Sometimes we are. You can kind of tell if a cadre really enjoyed the event or not by how detailed they get in their descriptions. But nonetheless, part of that gives us start points, and we have a list of start points that we can go out, review, and understand a little bit about before we get on, before we pick our start points. As you know, we have to have our start points in about a month in advance at this point. So I can't get on the ground a month in advance in a city I haven't been in, but I can use Google Maps and other software programs, and I can look for start points. And then I read the start points that have been in those cities before, and then I try to find different ones. Or I find ones that have only been used once or twice and try to find a different route, if you will. So Seattle was one of those first ones where I really was trying to do that. I was trying to stay out of downtown Seattle as much as possible until the end. I was trying to get over to a place that had some woods. I like the woods. I like Beyond Trails. I like finding that kind of environment. So, yeah, that event was... That was a fun event, and it turned out to work out exactly. It really drove my interest going forward because it was such an exciting event, and it was so unique for me. And I knew it was unique for all the participants as well.
Yeah. I mean, I can just second that. It was a unique event. It was a really, really fun event. And I mean, it was one of those weekends where I had a lot going on. I was like, I really want to get a GoRuck event in, but this isn't the perfect time. After that event, I was so glad I showed up for it. So glad I went to it. And kind of shifted other things in my calendar around to make it work because that was an amazing time.
And those were good days too. You know, nowadays, GoRuck is still, to me, it's just, it keeps evolving. And it, you know, we've seen it go through evolutions and we listen to the GRTs and I see the GRTs and I hear the GRTs talk. You know, we've gone through that evolution of, you know, charming the snake. And that had mixed reviews by some. They didn't quite understand the idea. But, you know, Charming the Snake, when we evolved to that, I thought that was a really fascinating approach. I think maybe why it didn't catch on the way I... And maybe it did. I'm not sure exactly how GoRuck views that period. It was like a year of time, a couple years ago. But that Charming the Snake, for me, that was such a common phrase while I was in the Special Forces. I don't know how common that phrase is today in special operations, but in my time, that was not a unique phrase. That was a phrase that spoke to the idea of overcoming some of those extreme obstacles, charm those, you know, like the snake charmer, if you will. I always thought of the snake charmer, someone who has a unique, dangerous situation, but they find a way to tame that dangerous situation and actually turn it into a positive effect for themselves and others around them. And I've always kind of seen it that way, that Charming the Snake. You know, not everything is a snake, but the snake represents an obstacle, a challenge, a difficult task. And being able to move into an environment, manage that difficult, challenging, dangerous entity, and then finding a way to evolve it into something more positive and useful. And, you know, that concept of force multiplication and all that. So I really liked that evolution. I think it ended up being conversational more than physical for some people. And we were coming out of that beat down phase, if you will. But now we've started to kind of evolve back, at least in my events. They're no longer beat downs, of course, but I'm looking to make things as physical as possible. I feel we can still charm the snake and be very, very physical. So the evolution's been interesting. And of course, now we're heading into those themed events.
Yeah. The evolution. I mean, it's been a fun process to watch. You said, you know, your first event was back in 2012. Mine was 2011. And we've seen a lot of changes since those initial days. And so I think we'll have to have a whole episode dedicated to the changes of GORUCK, because it's fascinating to look at how everything's progressed over the years.
I think I'm always interested in your opinion about it, right? The GRT opinion. And so, yeah, I would love to have another conversation about that, because I think all the changes have been positive. I think they've all been a step towards becoming better, becoming more cohesive, becoming more focused on, you know, how we build the community that we're building. What phraseology do we use? What techniques do we use? What cadre are we using, and how are they performing? And, you know, all these things are important, because they all help us become more professional. And I think that's what we have to be all the time, as professional as possible, at least.
Absolutely. So we had talked about the 4th of July event in Seattle and how that kind of, you know, you got excited about that event and how it was really different. And I know a lot of our special events that you've run have been different. And one of the reasons why I'm excited about the 22 Get Head Strong event that you're, you know, putting down in Austin, Texas this year is because you've got a lot of experience running these special events, running different events, looking at a list of start points and going, all right, I'm going to choose the one that no one goes to. And provide a very unique experience. So I would love to hear more about 22 Get Head Strong, what the event's about, who it's for, why you're throwing this on. And
yeah, okay. You know, it's kind of tough to talk. It's not hard to talk about. It's not hard to explain. It's just an emotional thing. You know, last year I was in so I guess I'll just start with the evolution of this. We were in Fredericksburg, and I was doing a Battle of Fredericksburg custom event, and for the Fredericksburg Wrecking Crew out there. And it was at the battlefield. It was really exciting. We had a great time. You know, I was telling the story. I'm a storyteller. I love telling the stories. And we were working. We were doing really a lot of work. And one of the people that was there was a woman named Caroline Cawley, and she approached me and she said that her and Rick Englund, who you might know from Fredericksburg, you may not because he's on the other coast, but he was the sponsor of that event. And he approached me and said, you know, we have this person, Caroline, would like to talk to you about a custom event that we had been talking with BD about, Mocha about, Joel about, and we need a cadre. And we're not quite there yet, but we want a cadre, and we're interested in wondering if you might consider it. And of course, I'm always interested in custom events and whatever it is that might be. I thought maybe it'd be another battle event. And so Carolyn approached me and she told me a story about her brothers, both of her brothers, who had served in Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, and both had taken their lives. Both struggled mightily after with post-traumatic stress and just a number of things, you know. And I can't go into her complete story, and I don't know that it's appropriate for me to try to label what they were going through. It's very difficult. But regardless, it ended in tragedy, and it ended in tragedy for her family. And it's not a story that was unique to me necessarily. It was kind of unique in the fact that it was two of her brothers. And she comes from a family of veterans. But it wasn't unique in the fact that somebody was telling me about a loved one who had lost their fight, lost their battle. And it's something I'll just say this. It's something that I struggle with. It's a extreme emotion that I struggle with. And I'm not going to sit here right now and say, hey man, you need to call the medics or somebody, you need to call doctors, 'cause I'm about to take my life. It's not like that. It's, but there's these emotions, these thoughts, these things, and they ebb and flow over time. And I've been out of service for a while now, and things come back. I'm currently involved in a large number of activities associated with recovery, if you will, from thoughts. I don't really know how to explain it necessarily, other than I go to therapy quite a bit and I talk to people to make sure that I'm okay. And so, and I've lost a number of friends to suicide, and I know a number of people who have lost family members. So, and I'm probably rambling right now because it gets very emotional for me. This is very, very difficult. But she told me what she would like to have done and how she'd like to do this event. So we started looking at maybe some potentials for this May. We were looking at maybe doing it in May, but we couldn't quite organize it up in a way that was going to work for us. So we pushed it till September. September gives us a lot of time. It's in Houston. It is the 22 Headstrong. It is the Headstrong Project. I've been doing a fundraiser for it, so there's some information about the company and the organization itself if you click on any of the ones. And I have to restart the fundraiser part of it again, but if you click on the link associated with my posts, it gives you an option to read about the company, the organization. And the organization, very simply, is an organization that's designed to provide cost-free, stigma-free counseling for people who are suffering from maladies that would lead them to want to take their lives. This particular event, it's not going to be necessarily a memorial event. I'm still trying to work on how I want to approach this event. I will tell you there's a number of ways I can do this. I'm leaning towards the living, celebrating the life that we remember of our past friends and loved ones. But also celebrating the reality that we're still here. We're still surviving. We're still getting through our challenges. So it's going to be kind of a mixed match of hugging and loving the ones that are still here who need our love. They need our tenderness, if you will. They're hurt. And recognizing that we have people who are no longer with us. The objective, of course, is awareness. And if we can create some awareness and we can create a little bit of love in this really crazy world we're living in right now, full of anger and hate, maybe we can save someone's life. That's the hope. I will tell you, since I started that fundraiser, the fundraiser event through Facebook, and I make it sound like I started it, all I did was push some buttons and say I'm willing to go do some push-ups for some donations, right? It turned out to be, it's turning out to be effective. And I've gotten a couple other cadre to join in with me, which has been really, really endearing. I really appreciate them. As we're doing this, and I'm trying to be concise, I've been receiving a lot of direct messages and text messages from people all over the country. And I'm not ready to read those. I'm going to save some of those for the event. But I'm getting two or three a week from people saying, you know, I don't know if I can make that event, but my God, I love what you're doing. I've lost this person and this, that, and this, and that. And I hope that this goes off without a hitch, and I hope that we're able to make a difference. And thank you, that kind of thing. So I'm right now going through a process where I'm trying to recognize that this is not about me at all. This is about, it's about the situation. And a lot of people are jumping on board, and we're hopefully making it happen. We need to get more signups. If it turns out that we don't have enough signups, of course, you know, it's a GoRuck event. It will probably cancel just because of the way we went about creating it. But even if that were to happen, we've done a good job in creating donations and awareness thus far. But I really am looking for participations. I would like to have as many as 100 people. I have a facility set up that will accommodate that number. I have some entertainment thinking about coming out. We have donations for food and after event drinks and, you know, those kinds of things. So it's coming along pretty well. I think it can work. We just need to make sure we get the signups.
Man, what a project.
It's tough. You know, it's
yeah.
And what makes it challenging for us is, you know, we do want people. It is in Austin, Texas. It is in September. September's a tough month. I think September 13th is the tough. The 14th or 15th is the light. We have a tough and light. We're coming right off of 9/11. Our GRT community is amazing, and they are very, very supportive, and they've been exceptionally supportive in their donations. I mean, just actually generosity at a level I didn't anticipate. And I know that if they all could sprout wings and fly into Austin, Texas, I'm certain that we would have thousands of people there, because it's a cause that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. But it is a tough time. We got 9/11 right before that, and you know, people sign up for that stuff early. Like in last December, people were signing up for those events. You know, at the end of the month, we have other events. There's just a lot going on in September, and so we kind of fit this one in. This was actually it's a custom event, but what we did was we turned a regular event into a themed event. So rather than being a custom created by a sponsored GRT like some of the other events I've done, it's a regular Go Ruck Tough and Light that was converted. That's the best way to describe it. It was converted. And so we did the same thing last year with Battle of New Orleans down in New Orleans. That was a Tough and a Light event, just a regular Tough Light, and we converted into a themed Battle of New Orleans event. We did the same thing with this because that worked, and we think this will work as well. But it did fall kind of one of those events that just kind of fell in a tough time period. And so we had to pick a date that we thought would work, and we kind of squeezed it in between a couple of other events. And we're hoping that come, you know, Christmas in July, people will say, hey, I want to do a couple more events. Maybe they'll come pick this event. There might be some tears at this event, but I promise it'll also be very physical. There's no way we're not going to be physical. There's just no way. We're gonna do what the living can do, and it's gonna be an important event.
I don't think you'd possibly show me a Cadre Shutter event that didn't have a lot of physical components.
Flutter kicks during scavengers, baby.
Yep. So this is, I know we're on a heavy subject with this, but one of my really, yep, really good friends was actually at that scavenger and on the winning team, and he sent me that picture, and I said, who was the Cadre running this? He's like, it was Shredder. I was like, yep, that makes a lot of sense. Flutter kicks at a scav.
Yeah, it'll be physical.
So you mentioned the 22 Headstrong event. The one I'm looking at on the website is the Tough. It's on 9/13/2019. Kickoff is at, it looks like 9 p.m. You mentioned that there's a light assigned to this as well.
Correct. The next day. So standard weekend.
Standard Goruck weekend. Do you anticipate people signing up and doing back-to-back events, Tough to the Light? Is that something that you would suggest, encourage, or avoid?
I would absolutely encourage it. You know, I'm planning on the light. Because it's going to be a normal type of Tough and Light in regards to the weekend time period, the elements that will make it special, I'm going to do my best to bleed them over from one to the other event, you know, so that what we do in the light will have some connection to what we do in the Tough, whether there's people that do both back to back, but simultaneously they'll build on each other. We have a pretty interesting facility that I'm not quite ready to talk about because we're still trying to solidify an agreement between myself and the facility. But it's a really good facility. It's got a lot of potential. People that sign up for the Tough will not be disappointed if they sign up for the light. People who sign up for the light will not be disappointed if they only do the light. People who sign up for the light should consider doing the Tough as well. Their physical limitations in their mind should not be a deterrent. They should come out and they should toe the line, and we should get busy.
And there's no better way to jinx something than to announce it and have it recorded for all eternity.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm not doing that right now. One of the things I want people to know about this event in particular is this is not the end-all be-all, right? It's showing up for the event doesn't end the conversation. Awareness is the objective. My hope is that what this will do is it'll have people talking about it. They'll take it back home. They'll talk about it. And then maybe they'll want to do something similar. We're dealing with, you know, actual organizations that are going to you know, help support. Again, I don't really want to give too much information about the groups that are going to support because we're still kind of working on that as well. But they're familiar groups. They're groups of veterans groups that people are aware of. And the combination and support between those groups and our RUC clubs especially, I think it's the kind of event that we could do more than once. We could do in multiple locations so that people could take advantage of it. And actually experience it. And I would love to see that happen. So when we finish this Austin event, regardless of how it turns out in numbers and all that, I would love the conversation to continue because I think that the problem's not going away. we continue to add people to the scroll of needy, the people who are suffering, and even people like myself. You know, I'm not a young man, and I'm surrounded by people in my therapy sessions who are not young men. So there's a lot of people out there who need somebody to talk to, and they need to know that they're not alone in those dark moments. And so, you know, I'm hoping that when we finish this event, people will continue to talk, and maybe we'll do some more of these throughout the year and next year and, you know, whenever. I just hope it continues.
And it sounds like no matter how this event turns out in terms of participants, it already in some ways has been a success based on the fundraisers that you've been running through your Facebook page.
Yeah. You know, I don't really know what success looks like to, you know, the Headstrong organization. I'm sure if the fundraiser raised $100,000, they would find that more successful than $10,000. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. I haven't spoken in great detail with them about, other than, you know, just kind of getting going on the event and that kind of stuff. I don't know exactly everything they need. I do know that we're talking about it more and more as we move closer to this event. But I do feel that at the very least, people are starting to talk about it, and I think that's a positive. So I think in that vein, it has positive effect.
I like that. And I also like the way you worded it with, you know, when this event ends, you're going to look at how everything came together, what it sounds like what worked, and kind of expand on that and possibly, you know, bring it to other cities or prep for follow-ups to it.
Yeah.
Because like you said, when this event is over, that doesn't mean, you know, we all get to stick our hands in the air and cheer and say, yay, this is all done now. It's still it's a perpetual thing.
Yeah, it really is, you know. And one of the challenges I have is I'm trying not to browbeat people into supporting, right? You don't want to do that. And, you know, you want to ask for support. We need support. We want support. I don't want to tell people, hey, you're not doing enough, because that's ridiculous. Anybody that does anything is more, and that's good, right? So I want people to feel free to commit whatever level of support they want to commit. I want people to feel free to help out however they do that, and not feel ostracized because they didn't go to an event or they couldn't donate money. Sometimes it's as simple as reaching out to somebody in the neighborhood, somebody you know. The outreach can be as simple as just giving somebody a high five, a hug, or a handshake, a smile on their face. I don't pretend to know all the ways that people can affect others, but I know that it doesn't necessarily have to be supporting this particular event to help a veteran overcome their struggles.
And on the flip side to that, there are some people who love to support organizations through events and through, you know, GORUCK challenges.
True.
And this is a great way for them to do that.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're
come listen to the stories, come work hard, get a little dirty, get a little sweaty, and just, you know, be there.
I'm guessing you'll get a lot of sweaty. It's a cadre shredder event.
It will be September in Texas. Yep.
Yep. So I want to thank you for sharing, you know, everything about this event, where it came from and kind of how it got started. I know it's emotional and it's powerful, and, you know, there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't an event that I would say that I'm very familiar with, besides what we've talked to about, you know, in the pre-call that we had. So I want to make sure that I give you an opportunity to talk about every piece of this event that you want to get out there. So is there anything that we might have, you know, missed talking about 22 Headstrong that you want to talk about?
Let's see. Well, first the dates. You have the dates right in front of you.
I do. The 13th is the 13th is the tough. The 14th is the light. Tough starts at 9 p.m.
Light.
Light is at 2 p.m.
Excellent. Fantastic. So I wanted to definitely get those dates out in September in Austin, Texas. There's a little video that I've been posting as well, that With or Without Me, it's called. It's a veteran created video. If I'm on my personal Facebook page and on my Cadre Shredder Facebook page, you might have to search for it a little bit, but it's there. It's just a little video, and I'll repost it again after, you know, today. I'll share it again. But it was created by Some of the veterans who are actually sponsoring this event, Caroline, who I mentioned initially, she is the female in this particular video. It was a video made by veterans, and it's a poignant and powerful video. It's not a whole lot of talking. It's not a whole lot of drama as in regards to like action and you know, dramatic scenes. It's a very subtle, poignant is the best way to describe it. When you watch it, it seems to me at least that it represents the way I feel, and it represents the way I see a lot of my friends who are dealing with these kinds of things, the way they go through their life and feel. It's that general feeling of, you know, it just doesn't matter whether I'm here or not. It doesn't make any difference, and there's no joy anyway. So, you know, check that video out. I'll repost it, and I would like people to see that because I think it's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement.
And I'll make sure to include a link to it in the show notes. So for anyone listening, the app that you listen to this through either has show notes or it'll be on the show notes on the All Day Ruckoff website. So it'll be a link to, I'll post one for both Cadre Shredder's page and his personal page to those videos.
Great. You know, I also want to invite anyone who is interested to send me a letter. Or a direct message, or even a text message, email, it makes no difference. I can give you all of that information right now if you want, but if somebody wants to have a story shared, I'm collecting these. I won't share anything without permission, but if somebody has a story they'd like to tell, if there's somebody they want to be remembered with a vignette or a discussion, I'm willing to collect those, and I'm willing to share those at our event. You know, if the time is appropriate and it makes sense, you know, I want people to feel like they have an avenue to talk about somebody that they care about and love, and miss and are worried about, or whatever the case may be. I want to make that available. So, you know, you can hit me up direct message off of Facebook. That's easy. And ask for my email if you want. I could give you my email right now if you think that makes sense. I can even give you my home address, although I'd probably rather do that through direct message. I figure I'll probably get a bunch of hate mail from some people. You never know. And that's just kidding, of course. But, you know, I'm willing to give this information to people. If they want to send some information, I'm willing to collect it.
Yeah, I'll make sure to, you know, include the link to your Facebook profile page so people can hit you up there, direct message. If you want, you can also, you know, give your email address here. I agree with you for security reasons, probably. Don't give your home address over the podcast to be recorded forever, Email should be good.
Well, let me give that to you right now then. Stronghold Provisions. It's one word, Stronghold Provisions with an S, and that's at gmail.com.
There you go. And I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Perfect. Perfect.
I want to make sure that we got everything, you know, covered that you want to get covered with this.
I think we're good at this point, man. I really appreciate the time. As we mentioned before, I'd love to be able to come back on and maybe do, you know, some conversations about, you know, the MACVs and the waffle tops and those kind of things, right? As we originally talked, there's apparel reviews and all those other kind of things that I'm prepared to talk now that I've been using this gear for a long time. But this particular session, I really wanted to be able to discuss, you know, this particular event in Austin. And so I'm very grateful, and I really appreciate you willing to give me the time to and the platform to express myself and to, you know, let people know that, again, if you can make it, man, I'd love to have you out there. The more the merrier, of course. If you can't make it and you have a few extra dollars you can donate, you're going to see some more fundraisers for more physical activity. Please consider doing that. No pressure, of course. If there's anything you want to send to me, send it to me. There will be no special packing list. It's a show up with your ruck and your gear, and we'll do a Go Ruck event. And it's going to, you know, it's going to be typical. We're going to be off in the woods a bit. We're going to be on the in some of the more austere environments. And come ready. And I hope you can make it and have fun.
And I was going to say, Cadre Shredder, I mean, having you on to talk about this is the least I could do after everything that you've done for the GoArt community, you know, for myself at events. You know, when I see that you're the cadre at an upcoming event, I'm like, yes, this is going to be fun. So I just got to say thank you for all that you do. And again, having you on thank you so much for talking about where you came from out in this community, your first events, that whole process there. I found fascinating, and I know that the listeners will as well, because I mean, if people are willing to download a podcast about rucking and go ruck, then that should be right up their alley. So
yeah, right on. I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 106, and I wanted to say thank you again for taking the time to download it, listen to it, and I just really hope you enjoyed this interview with Shredder. It was great having him on, always an awesome person to talk to, and I definitely think that he'll be back again in the future. If you want links to anything we talked about during this interview, including links to the 22 Headstrong event, you can head on over to alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-106. Otherwise, you can just hit the show notes button in your app if you're listening to this on a podcast app. If you want to support the All Day Ruck Off podcast, there's a couple easy ways to do that. You can head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a review there, or our Facebook page. Search for All Day Ruck Off, should show right up, and you can leave a review there as well. Both of those are truly appreciated, and I honestly love reading them. The other option, you can head on over to the All Day Ruck Off online store at alldayruckoff.com/store. Lots of rucking related gear there. Just got a huge restock on Source Hydration bladders, hoses, mouthpieces, anything you need for that for events. And then finally, you can also support through Patreon, patreon.com/alldayruckoff, where you can help get us closer to some awesome in-person microphones and get access to some additional content there as well. Thank you so much for downloading, listening, sharing, just all the support. It's truly appreciated. And don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.